Good morning, ladies. Welcome to our May Mastermind e-circle. And it's a pleasure shortly to introduce you to our guests. I first of all like to acknowledge the Mirrawong Gidjiwong people on whose land we stand today and acknowledge their elders past and present and also emerging leaders. So Sharon Fulton Bevers, she's from the my beautiful home country of New Zealand, and we had the pleasure of meeting each other about 18 months ago. And Sharon is a mindset coach who has her own business, and she helps clients to find their uniqueness that unlocks their capability. And Sharon's mission is to enrich businesses and organizations by supporting staff, leadership, and business owners are to be the best they can be while still having fun on purpose. And I love that. We can't forget that element of fun. And their business is called UBU. So, Sharon, it's a pleasure to have you today. And I know that you're going to chat with us about boosting confidence as a woman, both in business and leadership. So, most of our women, are in some form of business, so whether they're emerging or established, and also a number of our women are in leadership positions across their communities as well. So we're really looking forward to hearing your tips and tools and hints around ways of boosting our confidence, which I think is an area that a lot of women struggle with. So thank you, Sharon. Over to you.
Thanks, Marie. It's so lovely to be here. I've been looking forward to this, and it'll be interesting to see how it comes off in the recording. If any of you have worked on Zoom, you know that it takes more energy, and I'm coming across the ditch as well. And so, kia ora, from New Zealand, and I just really have a sense of what I know about Aboriginal people, of whom I've met a few, of deep spirituality and deep connection with the earth, the things that are past and the things that are going. There's some things that fascinate me about Aboriginal concepts. The concept of time, we only have three. Aboriginal people, I understand, have five. And that deep sense of connection here, which also the whenua here in for Māori people especially, that sense of care for the land and looking after as well as connecting with is really important. And a sense of confidence that comes from that. So I'm moving to confidence now. And when you think about confidence, it's a really interesting topic. I'm really practical. I like fun and practical things. So I want to talk to you today about some things as a mindset coach that you can do to increase your confidence. In my PowerPoint presentation, which just recently just broke down, I've got some really good quotes from some amazing people about confidence. And you'll see that when I can figure out how to uncorrupt it, because I can see one slide so far. And this is about some inspiring women who talk about confidence. And we know as women that when we get together, that the support and connection that we make really inspires us with confidence. Maya Angelou was somebody I really admired. She, I don't know if you know her, but she was born, she's from America, Black American. She's a poet, a writer, and an activist. And she says confidence comes from within, inspiring others. And often that whole sense of giving and what she did was it come from a position of everybody who has an experience of me is something that I give them. And focusing on the other person is often the way to get confidence, because you're not focused on, oh, this is so scary. Other inspiring woman for me, for all her faults, as we've gone through the pandemic, is Jacinda Ardern, who's ex-Prime Minister of New Zealand. And she says she's not a very confident person. She's scared most of the time and a very sensitive soul as well. But she says it's about doing the right thing for others, which again is an interesting perspective. But we've had shootings at mosques here, and she took the world on because a lot of that went wrong because of social media. And she challenged so many people to do that and was extraordinarily kind. And people think, and I think women too, that you can't be kind and fierce. But often our confidence comes from that, a fierce, wanting to protect and enhance and move on other people, that we don't, when we don't focus on ourselves. Another person I really admire, excuse me, who has several mental health issues, is a woman called Mel Robbins, who's a speaker. And she says confidence is about taking a thought and making it into an action. And since I deal with most people and what they think, then I think that's a really a useful perspective. And hey, Marie, we don't have other people here, but if you have any questions and things as they occur to you, I'd love to hear back from you. So this
Yeah,
is.
it's lovely. I love the quotes that you've shared, and yeah, Maya Angelou is one that we often quote. So no, enjoying your few things that you've shared so far. So all
Oh,
good.
that's great. So as a mindset coach, I'll just give you a little bit of a perspective because we all have one. And it's how you use it often that's really important. So what a mindset is how we think and how we feel and what we do as a result of that. And so I'll tell you a little bit, few things about your brains, which will, and how your brains work, so that you can get the hang of how to manage them, because often we don't know how to do that. And some people know this already instinctively, so I'll just give it some words. But our brains are designed to keep us safe. And to keep us safe, they're negatively wired. So all the time we're looking for what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. And it was kind of, the days of saber-toothed tigers to give us survival. But even though there's not a lot of saber-toothed tigers around now, we're still constantly looking for what's going wrong. And if you're working from a trauma base, if you've come from culturally or in your family, or something's happened to you as an individual where there's been a lot of trauma, you're in what's called a survival brain. And trauma, I don't know if you've covered this, Marie, but trauma is any kind of place where you're not feeling fully present, that you're always having to shift your focus. Is that good enough?
Yeah, that's great. It's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, so you can't feel like
Mm.
you're fully present, that you have to watch something else or be slightly removed, that it's not safe to be fully here. So often to be fully here, and it might be a good time to do an exercise about that, so that we're fully here together, for those of us that are online, is to just be conscious of our breathing and take a big breath in through your nose, mouth closed, through your nose, and hold it for a minute, and then blow out like you're blowing through a straw, and for the count of eight. So hold it, breathe in, hold it, and then breathe out. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Ah, get some carbon dioxide out of the brain and helps us be fully present here. And then it's easier to learn stuff as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
So here is our brain that's designed to keep us safe, and it's going, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, all the time. Especially if you come from a trauma base and you're in survival mode, then it's your what's called hypervigilant. And moving forward and doing some really confident things is extraordinarily hard when you're working from that kind of base. So, and wanting to doing something enterprising. So how can you be confident, if you think of it like that, as one entity, and be in survival as well? Your brain's tired and working hard if you're working from that kind of system. So acknowledging that is useful. and then going, well, what do I want to do about this? So what the thing to do is to try and balance your brain first, acknowledge, if you try and suppress any trauma at all, it's like I don't know. It's trying to push a ball, a ball that's blown up into a pond. It's a lot of energy to try and push that down. And sooner or later, just by the nature of air, it's going to come up. So the idea is that if you spend all your energy suppressing that hurt and that pain, it's just not going to work. But if you work with people, if you're well connected with people, and people like Maria, awesome at this kind of stuff. You slowly can diffuse whatever is happening, the air in that balloon, the trauma and stuff, and so you make it for a place of into a place of safety. And it's much easier to be confident and work from that. But if you're working from survival, it's easy to go in a downward spiral. So I've got this whole thing with our brains trying to look out for what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. So the first thing to do is acknowledge that, this is what your brain's doing, and that there's some memories and beliefs that you have that you're trying to manage to stay in survival. But to move from survive to thrive, acknowledging it is the first stage. After acknowledging it, the next thing to do is to try and balance it. So to balance, so acknowledging the pain, acknowledging that things have gone wrong, but that you want to move and desire to move to a point of safety. The next best thing to do is the next strategy to do is to balance your brain. So to move from negative to positive. Now, not positive like, happy dippy, airy fairy, everything's okay, that sugary coated stage, which is not very realistic, but just a bit more positive. So I think of your mind as being like a supermarket trolley. So here is your mind, and you've got two shelves. You've got one side, you've got the fear side. The fear side, and we're designed to try and keep us safe on the negative side. So the supermarket trolley is closer to the fear side. The love side, the compassion side, the acceptance side, the initiative side is further away. And we can see that. If you think a negative thought, most of our thoughts become an emotion. And if you think of something negative, like saying something like, oh, you stupid idiot, which we've all done at some stage, it has, and I'm beating my chest here, boom, it has some real boom in your chest. The research is that negative emotion hits you 8 seconds afterwards, and it hits it really quickly. If you think a negative thought like, oh, honey, you tried really hard to do that, you almost got it, and next time, it's going to be better. That positive thought, that self-compassionate thought, it takes 12 seconds to register in our body, and it's not such a big hit, it's a lighter hit. So the negative thoughts, because of the way we're wired, is more impactful on us to try and keep us safe. So in a way, we're trying to straddle that. But once you know that about your brain, that the positive is going to not have such a big impact short term, but long term, it's got great effects. And I've got some gorgeous stories from clients about that. Excuse me. So for example, and that's what I suggest that you do. You give yourself some positive hits in the morning. If you can, I get all my clients. So you're getting Mindset Coaching 101 to build your confidence. And it goes like this. You get outside and stand on the ground. So you're in contact with the earth. And I'm sure a lot of you know that better than most of the Europeans that are around you. The power of the whenua, the power of the land to us as women, as human beings. And then if you can, what I like to do, it's winter here and I can't see it so much, but I put the sun first thing in the morning before I do anything else. Get up, get out of bed, stand on the earth. I stand on my grass and I put the sun in my right hand. So it's on my right hand. And I look over the planet the sky and then look to my other hand and I say to myself, today is a great day. And I balance my brain. I talk out loud to myself and then so what happens with that is my conscious mind is talking to my subconscious mind. So that my subconscious mind is always listening for clues to my conscious mind about what to do. And it never disagrees with it. It is always looking for clues and it'll go, okay, she's going to have a good day today. And it will look for the good. And this helps to balance our brain. So just it's called setting your intentions for the day. And after that, I go and have a meditation. But I put that in my body. It's important to for me to connect with the earth and the research around this. Now the scientists are coming into play with this. So I've talked to neuroscientists and I've studied the research as part of what I do. The standing on the earth is called grounding. They've noticed in your immune system the uptake of white blood cells, and I could tell you a whole lot of science about it, but it's healing. It's actually biologically healing. And so you're taking healing into your body. It's just such good, juicy medicine. Excuse me. Now, at about 2 o'clock in the day, to balance your brain, usually your conscious mind's a bit tired. So what you do is, and it's continually, of course, scanning the surface for saber-toothed tigers or whatever and going, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? So we balance it and we step back from our thoughts and we go, and I go, what's gone well? So at 2 o'clock today, I'll go, yay, I spent a great time with Marie and crew. And excuse me, and I've talked to some clients this morning as well. And just had a really good morning. And I'll think about the good things, not the things that have gone wrong. Not the fact that my cortisol was rising and it's cold here and I don't want to turn the heating on yet because it's only May. I'm not concentrating on that. I'm thinking I'm joining up with today's a great day with all the great things that have happened. And I'm connecting with that and balancing my brain into something positive. What do you think of that so far, Marie? And how does that connect with what you know about trauma experiences?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I really love the practical element that you're bringing in because, our communities are hard places to be, and we do have to each day navigate, those trauma trails, sorry business that might be going on, dysfunction in the family, etc. So it's not like those things don't have easy solutions kind of overnight, but just yeah, I really love the practical ideas that you're giving that can help us to keep going through the things that we are and at the same time keep our confidence intact so that we can have the capacity to work through what we need to work through. So it's really good, Sharon. Thank you.
Pleasure. The last thing, so there's three things this that will help to balance your brain. The last thing is what you do just before you go to bed. So for me, I tuck my duvet under my chin. But some people that are really active in the day, this doesn't work because as soon as they hit go to bed, they hit the pillow and go clonk. So they I like what I call warm prayers, so that I'm in my bed before I do it, because my subconscious mind is taking over from my conscious mind and it's the way to influence the most. But some people don't get that far, so sometimes you just have to sit on the side of your bed and do this, and it's the grateful exercise, being thankful. So today I will be thankful for this. Today I'll be thankful for the amazing conversation that I had with a woman whose life has totally changed now, partially because of these three exercises. She's really practical. Just bought a horse. And so but what grateful does is it connects us with our spirituality. We're grateful not to for our own resources, but what is outside, what is eternal, what we can connect with, what we connect with through the generations, what's provided for us. And for me, I'm thankful also for some loving family. I'm not all my family is loving right now. I'm going through something with my family, but we will get there. And so I understand some of the trauma responses that people have had through that connection. But the ones that you know, where it's working, I'm grateful for family. I'm grateful for food in my belly. I'm grateful for a safe place to live. And then the more I'm grateful for, the more my brain starts working, and it will connect those points up. Today's a great day. What's gone well? And what I'm thankful for. And my thankfulness actually sets up my next day. And what I've noticed consistently with clients, if they consistently do these exercises, suddenly their confidence changes. And it's almost like a byproduct, because their self-concept, how they think about themselves, starts to change as well. And how they start talking to themselves starts to change as well. And that's really important. Your self-talk is really important. You know, it's sort of, come on, pull your boots up. Not, oh, heck, this is too hard, I can't do it. Guess what that's going to produce? It just does, it's not going to work. But it's not from a position of not acknowledging that things are hard, because you're fighting with yourself if you don't do that, right? So this is tough, yes. And this is not my negative response. This is my positive response. I'm moving from surviving to thriving. And I'm in charge of that. So all those things, those three exercises, will definitely up your confidence. And I'll tell you some stories about some clients about that. One client came to me. She was absolutely on the point of nervous breakdown. I wondered if she should see a psychotherapist, but I thought, I can fit her in today. We'll have it. She needed a session now. So we met later that day, and I gave her those exercises, and she seemed to really pick up on hope. She was a lot more hopeful. And I run a service so that if you want to, you can text me during the week between 8 and 8 o'clock New Zealand time. And I will, you know, give you something, because often the learning moments for us are in those points of pain, and then you learn a different response in a point after a point of pain, and the different response is what moves you on. So she texts me a couple of times during the week, but she's very independent and fierce, because sometimes that's what trauma does to you, makes you, you know, want to control everything and do everything yourself. And so, but what we noticed after a week was she was a lot calmer. And then the reason she came was that she just couldn't do a job, really hyper-vigilant, high achiever. But what happened was, when she put her head above the parapet, when she started to get more confident, and she stopped blaming herself for everything, and she realized, hang on, this isn't about me. In fact, every time I'm successful, my boss shifts the guidelines, the white lines, and what I should be doing. And we worked out that he was probably working as, he was probably a narcissist. So narcissists, one of the things about people that work like that is that they always have to win. So her winning meant he wasn't in his belief system. So the problem that she came to me originally wasn't hers. It was his, and it was the way that they were operating together. But until she got that level of confidence up, and that balancing her brain into a much more positive way of thinking, she couldn't understand what the problem was, because it was always, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? It's my fault. And I'm sure there are a lot of women, because we're often socialized to believe that it's our fault and we need to fix it. That's often a problem of confidence. So there's a belief system that we can fix it and we need to fix it. And working a lot with women, that's a lot of what happens. So that's always a good question to ask yourself. Is this my problem? When you're talking about, I don't feel very confident about this. The other thing about confidence is that there's a step before it, and a step before it is courage. And there's a really famous quote by a guy called Ambrose Redmond that says, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather that there's something worth more than the fear. When you think about Maya Angelou, when you think about Jacinda Ardern, when you even think about Mel Robbins, it's them making a decision, a choice based beyond fear for other people. And I think for women, that's a huge motivation that we, want to work beyond ourselves. Okay. So, am I still on? Okay.
Yes, all good. It's I love it. A step before confidence is courage.
Yeah. And so that's knowing. I've just started a personal story. I've just started getting into cold water. I was talking with my son the other day. I mean, like, I haven't gone to 0 degrees yet. I'm working down to that. But I looked at all the health benefits of working in cold, of being in colder water for a shorter period of time. And I was talking with my son. He said, I'm the kind of person that takes a thermometer everywhere with me. And I often talk to it and tell it it's lying because it's too cold.
Well, we
And
have the opposite problem where we are. Oh, dear.
exactly. Kimberley's really appealing to a person like me. I tell you, it's just and it's really I don't like being cold, and I'm living on Waikato, which is not only cold, it's damp. But when I started reading about the benefits of being in cold water, so I have a pool and I get into it, and right now it's 15 degrees, and if I'm in there, anything below 20 is good for you for 4 to 6 minutes. And so what I do is as I'm going into the pool, I'm saying spirit over body. So I'm psyching myself up for it because I know I'm going to hate it. It's only 4 minutes, right? It's only 4 minutes. So I go spirit over body, 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 spirit over body. As I get into the water. But it's do you know what? And I knew this was true in my head, but you have to do it in your heart and you have to take it into your body, so it's different. But the first 4 times are the hardest, and after that, because there's another thing about your brain, Marie, that's really important. And for those of you that are listening, your brain hates what's unfamiliar. Believe it or not, 95% of what we do every day is familiar. And there's some really good things about that, but it doesn't like what's unfamiliar, and it'll tell you this is wrong, you can't do it, and you'll get all the self-talk about why you can't do it. And it's your brain trying to keep you safe and your brain trying to be efficient. So it's one thing when you're taking courage and you know that you know that you know in your spirit, in your gut, in your heart, what the right thing to do is to not listen to your head in that minute and to take the courageous step. And I tell you, every time you do the courageous thing, even if it's wrong, you build up who you are as a person. And it's okay to make a mistake. In fact, I was talking to a guy last night, and he's really a kind of ex-client. And in fact, he's coming back to see me next Thursday because he's saying, I want to do this, I want to talk to this girl. And I'm saying, well, why don't you? And he said, because she might not reply. And I said, well, she hasn't replied to you now. Why don't you just call her? And it's easy to say that from a caring and objective position. I'm not hurt him, but he's facing all these fears, which are bigger than him. They're huge. And I said, what have you got to lose? He said, well, I've got to lose that she won't talk back. And I said, well, she's not talking back now, so what are you really losing? And she, but he couldn't see it. It's taken him 5 or 6 goes, Anyway, in the end, he texted her and she didn't text him back. And he says, goes to the most negative place. She's blocked me. And I said, there's no data. We don't know that. She's just not responding. Her phone could be off. There could be a dozen reasons. But we go to that negative place. We go to the worst possible place. And our brain's doing that to try and keep it as a loving act of trying to keep us safe. But in this situation, as in many others, our brain lies to us. Our brain is literally lying to us to try and keep us safe. And you have to remember that about your brain. It can lie to you. Don't believe everything it says. And this is a huge key to keep your confidence and to manage those negative thoughts. Are you ready for it? This is, I have heard it dozens of times from dozens of different neuroscientists in a dozen ways, but it comes down to this one saying that is hugely helpful in your confidence and actually managing those thoughts. And it's this four words that you can ask yourself. Is this thought useful? Is this thought useful? Can you see what happens, Marie, when you ask yourself, is this thought useful?
That's right. Yeah.
Is this thought useful? What you're doing is you are not your thoughts. You are not your emotions. You are not your circumstances. As a people, you know that. It's one of the gorgeous things about Aboriginal people. You know that. You know that you know that you know. But when you're living inside that thought, those thought bubbles that are trying to keep you safe, that it's overpowering sometimes. So asking yourself, is this thought useful? And then ask means that you're not sucked in by your thoughts, but you're just being slightly more objective and examining your thoughts. And it's not to say that the thought isn't useful, you're just examining it. So as you
And
examine,
it can slow your thinking down as well if you just stop and ask yourself that, because when we have those negative thoughts and then let them run wild, then that's when that overthinking comes. And the next minute, not only is it one thought, but it's 200 thoughts, and we've gone down the rabbit hole. So just consciously just saying, is it kind of halts you at that point. So yeah, again, just really good practical tip, Sharon.
And what happens in your brain? And they watched it. I've watched it. These things where your thoughts live are called motor neuron paths in your head. And what they do, and they're all connected up. I think of a Rubik's cube, but you can think of, the rabbit holes under the ground are probably just as good an analogy. What happens is that rabbit rushes down the hole and it rushes down all the other holes and talks to all the other rabbits and they all join up. Literally, that's what happens. So all those rabbit families who are getting bigger and bigger are talking to each other and they're not good rabbits. You want to shoot their boots off, you really do. And so what you do is you stick a gun down them and say, are you useful? They go, oh. And so you shoot the thought and you choose. And the really important thing about your brain is you can live without food for 40 days, though I don't recommend it. You can live without water for 3, but you can't live without thinking every 3 seconds.
Wow.
We have a new thought every 3 seconds. So then rabbits
Wow.
go real fast if you go down
Yes.
that
Yes.
hole. So we need to face it. Often we can trace where it came from, face it, trace it, and then replace it. We need to replace it with a positive thing. The next step I reckon in this to do is to go, is this true? And then go, is it really true? So we're examining our thoughts, and that will disconnect us from the emotion that often goes with the pain as well. So it arrests that, and then we can choose a different thought. Because until you choose a different thought, you'll race down all those rabbit holes. What you want to do is get into a good pond or lagoon instead of realistic but positive thoughts. What's gone well? What am I grateful for? Why is today a great day? What can I practically do? How can I be? How can I be the best version of me right now? How can I get out of the trauma, which is what a whole lot of bunch of negative thoughts often are, and get into being me in the present moment? And then you can make decisions often from your gut. You'll have what's the next best thing to do, and you can just do that. I don't know if any of you guys have had much to do with Al-Anon or AA, but their thoughts are often, what's the next best thing to do is an Al-Anon thought or Narcotics Anonymous or any of those groups. You just, to be confident, you don't have to have your life planned out before you. Often you'll have a plan for the day and you'll just get, if you get stuck in that negative loop, you just go, what's the next best thing to do? And just do that. And that will increase your confidence. It doesn't have to be right, it just has to be an action. If you look at what a person looks like who's depressed, they've taken body temperature of what a person looks like when they're depressed. And they are cold. They are still. They are motionless. So when people, you know, that flight or fright response, we get, oh, possum in the headlight kind of thing, then we often get really still. To be confident, to take us forward, it's move it. Just do anything. Move. Take an action. It doesn't have to be a lot, even if it's making yourself a cup of tea or getting a drink of water or something. Just don't stay in that cold, depressed, and sometimes anxious state. And do some of that breathing stuff. Breathe in, hold it, and then out through your nose. I can talk about a few more things that'll shift your state too that you can do in your body. Really quickly, because always trauma is kept in the body. And some simple things to do that I can show you. I'm taking my glasses off here and I'm looking straight ahead. So if you can do this too at the same time, so that we're all connected, which I quite like, think about you're all connected to this moment. So, you're looking straight ahead. Now look up as high as you can without moving your chin. Just look up. If you can look to a white light, hopefully you guys are looking at sunshine. You look up to a brighter light and then breathe out just a little bit. Can you feel a state change? Can you feel yourself shifting emotionally?
Yes.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
Mm.
It's how our brain's designed. We're looking up to a higher light. Or often just looking, especially if you're finding it hard to listen to something, if you look at like the inside of your left ear and the inside of your right ear, and you go left, right, you'll suddenly find it easier to hear things because we're connecting with that our eye part of our brain function. Is connecting with our ears. And next to our ears is our memory, and you're making some positive memories. So I'm getting a little bit technical there, but hey, have some fun with it. If you're finding it hard to focus on things, another good thing, and I'm holding a pen up here, but I've got a feather too, doesn't matter. Something. If you're finding it hard to concentrate, you just look at one thing, look away and go, oh, it's hard to concentrate, and just focus on one thing for about a minute and you just stare at it and look at the detail of it. And look at it like here, it's got some soft downy feathers at the bottom. And then there's some straighter ones at the top that form a curve. And I'm thinking about that and I'm focusing on that. And I'm just focusing on that. Turn it around. And I do that for a minute. And suddenly, my brain clears. So how are we doing for time, Marie?
We've probably got about another 5 to 8 minutes.
Okay, so I should sum up what I've said.
They're lovely.
So what for you, listening to this, Marie, what's been most useful?
I loved it when you said, face it, trace it, and replace it. And just how, yeah, probably similar to what I said before in terms of, a lot of us are always in this mode of navigating through some challenging things, whether that's trauma, whether it's the current family matter, etc. But it doesn't mean that our confidence has to dissipate. There's, through some of the practical things, the exercises you're saying, there's a way that we can keep our brain centered so that our nervous system is more balanced and our brain isn't trying to fire in different directions. And because then if we get flustered and we can't concentrate and then that anxiety comes, it all becomes a big fluff ball that is too hard to handle. So I just love the way that you've stepped us practically through some things. I found that very useful, and I think the woman will as well.
Yeah, I figured you're a group. I had looked at some photos of you, and I thought, oh, I got your wider and your spirit of being together. And so I was so looking forward to this, and being together with you, because I'm sure there's some heaps of stuff that I can learn. But hopefully there's some practice. And I got that you're pr a practical kind of people. And as women, we just often need to be, and. So, and just the last thing I'd like to say too, just as well as wishing you so well, I'm so deeply respectful of the businesses that you're starting. Often business, being in business, like I'm self-employed myself, and one entrepreneur, a woman and leader, they talked about Sue Watson, who runs leadership and for women training here. She said starting a business is like getting a rock and you're up a high hill and the rock's not a regular shape, and she said all you can do is drop it. And as you're starting a business, you drop it, you're out of control of so many things, and you watch the rock tumble, and it doesn't follow the path that you think it should, but you just need to follow the path that it's going on. And if you listen and watch where it goes and what your customers are saying and responding to them, and not saying, oh, it's wrong, it should be look like this, it should look like this. And open to it and listening and staying in the present and asking them lots of questions, then that too will grow your confidence as you sort of work sharing the control with people, with other people, with your customers. It's always a big lesson to learn. Oh, yeah, so I'm sending you best wishes from us. And if you've got any questions, Marie knows how to get hold of me, and I'll send you the PowerPoint so that even if I have to redo it again, so that will just sum up some of those things that I've talked about so that you can see it.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Sharon.
My pleasure, my privilege.